ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। कंटिन्यूइंग आवर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 70 chapter is entitled Lord Krishna's Daily Activities, text number 2. Vayamsi aruruvan krishnam bodayantiva वन्दिनः गायत्सु अलिश्व अनिद्राणि मन्दार वन वायुभिः वयांसि अरुरुवन् कृष्णम् बोधयन्तीव वन्दिना गायत्सु अलिश्व अनिद्राणि मन्दार वनवायुभिः वयांस्य अरुरुवन् कृष्णम् बोधयन्तीव वन्दिनः गायत्सु अलिश्व अनिद्राणि मन्दार वनवायुभिः वयांसि अरुरुवन् कृष्णम् बोधयन्तीव वन्दिनः गायत्स्वलिश्व निद्राणि मन्दार वनवायुभिः Matajis. What word meaning? Vayamsi. Birds aruruvan sounded loudly. Krishnam, Lord Krishna, bodayanti, waking, eva, as if, vandinaha, birds, gayatsu, as they sang, अलिशु बीज अनिद्राणी अराउज्ड फ्रॉम स्लीप Mandara of Parijata trees. Vana from the garden. Vayubihi by the breeze. Translations and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: the bees buzzing caused by the fragrant breeze from the Parijata garden roused the birds from sleep, and when the birds began to sing loudly, they woke Lord Krishna like court poets reciting His glories. Text number 3. Text number 2 has no purport, so text number 3. Translation: lying in her beloved's arms, Queen Vaidarbhi did not like this most auspicious hour, for it meant she would lose his embrace. Purport: Srila Sridhar Swami explains that the reaction of Queen Vaidarbhi Rukmini shows the attitude of all the queens. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamsha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gaurani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Rinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. One time Srila Prabhupada was approached by one reporter, and of all questions, this reporter asked one question that, Swamiji, when you saw Krishna first? So it's a very strange question, because pure devotees like Srila Prabhupada are always with Krishna. So Prabhupada tried to explain her in a philosophical way, but she was again persisting, when you saw Krishna first? Just to keep her happy, Prabhupada said, when I was 5 years old. And then she was happy, satisfied. So devotees who were narrating this pastime, Prabhupada disciple, he said, Prabhupada, it was not like at the age of 5, Prabhupada saw Krishna for the first time. Prabhupada always had Krishna with him. But because the materialistic mind wants to tabulate everything, so therefore to make her feel happy and make her feel having faith on Prabhupada, Prabhupada said at the age of 5 years, Prabhupada said, I saw Krishna. So there are many ways we try to tabulate spiritual personalities. One time one devotee went to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, this photograph of yours looks very grave. You look very serious. And Prabhupada said, what do you know? That was my ecstasy. So externally we may see something and we may analyze a particular thing as per our understanding and come to another conclusion, but actual conclusions are something else. Why I am saying this? Because we are seeing here that Rukmini Devi is seen to be disgusted here. Now Rukmini Devi is not an ordinary person. She is the most important consort of Lord Krishna. And such a difficult thing like a disgust or cursing a cock or a rooster doesn't deem to fit a devotee, a pure devotee who is cursing someone. But we should know that behind every pure devotee activity there is a reason, and that reason leads to a transcendental pastime. Like for example, I will give two more understanding and examples from Shastra about Rukmini Devi's apparent negative emotions, but that led to a transcendental pastime. So this first pastime which I will narrate is from Chaitanya Mangal. This comes when Lord Sri Krishna is entering into Dwarka from Hastinapur. And Lord Krishna, after he meets everyone, then he enters into the palace of Rukmini Devi. So Rukmini Devi has already made huge beautiful arrangement for Lord Krishna to be welcomed in her palace. So then she makes Lord Krishna sit on his asana, and then she is washing Krishna's lotus feet. So when Krishna came, Rukmini Devi was very happy. And now suddenly washing Krishna's lotus feet, Rukmini Devi is crying as if fear has gripped her. So Krishna becomes little concerned that why Rukmini is crying. Because if I am not there, then she should cry. But now that I have come, why she should cry? So Krishna being intrigued, Krishna is knower of everything, but he shows that he doesn't know something. So he asks Rukmini Devi that why are you crying? Now I am here, you are in my association, you should be very happy. And Rukmini Devi has to tell Krishna that you will never understand. And Krishna becomes more amazed. What is that which I cannot understand? I am Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Rukmini Devi tells her that this crying is not in distress. This cry is in happiness. And this cry is also a happiness of seeing a beloved after a long time. And simultaneously there is a distress that I may lose my beloved. That means she knows Krishna is Swarat. I cannot hold Krishna a long time. So now Krishna is there with me, but Krishna is always reciprocating with his devotees, so Krishna may anytime leave. So that imminent understanding of separation, that in near future it may happen, she is also crying. So when Krishna hears that, Rukmini Devi tells that this emotion of mine cannot be understood by you because you are Lord. Only a devotee can understand. Especially you can understand this from me or Srimati Radharani. So Krishna becomes amazed. He wants to know this emotion of Rukmini. What is this that a devotee feels happy when he is in the association of Krishna, and he feels distressed when he loses Krishna or when he is about to lose Krishna? Like for example, the beautiful pastime in Vrindavan. This is near between Nandagaon and Barsan, this beautiful place called as Prem Sarovar. And in Prem Sarovar is nothing but a beautiful sarovar created by the tears of Krishna and Radharani. How it got created? Krishna and Radharani are sitting together and they are having their wonderful pastimes, and then a bumblebee, it comes around and it looks like a disturbance to Srimati Radharani. So immediately Krishna tells Madhu Mangal that please take this bumblebee away. So Madhu Mangal shoots the bumblebee and comes back and says, Madhu has gone away. Bumblebee also is Madhu. So Srimati Radharani hears that Madhu has gone away, So she understands that Madhusudan has gone away, Krishna has gone away. And thinking that Krishna has gone away, even though Krishna is with Radharani, she starts shedding tears. And seeing that Krishna shed tears, and this too beautiful exchange of Radharani and Krishna leads to Prem Sarovar for us to visit and have this wonderful pastime to narrate. So apparent crying of a devotee, a pure devotee, is not ordinary crying. Apparent disgust of a devotee is not ordinary disgust. So Rukmini Devi, when she told Krishna that you cannot understand, only a pure devotee of yours can understand, especially Radharani and me, then Krishna takes a challenge. I have to understand this. And at the same time, Chaitanya Mangal mentions that Narad Muni enters and he is also in distress. And he tells Krishna, so devotees mentioned that actually now Krishna is in predicament because he is seeing that wife is in distress and now Guru also is in distress. Both are in distress, but transcendental distress, and Krishna has to resolve that distress. So Narad Muni comes and says, I just saw the future, the Kali Yuga, and how people are going to be so much inflicted with miseries. Can you do something, Krishna? Please do something for people in Kali Yuga. So Krishna arranges that both the things together and says, yes, in Kali Yuga I will come as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and I will come to save the people in Kali Yuga and also relish what Srimati Rukmini Devi told, that I cannot understand unless I become a devotee. So Lord Chaitanya came as a devotee. Krishna came as his own devotee, so he could relish. So Rukmini Devi's apparent disgust, apparent anger, or apparent crying, apparent negative emotions leads to a beautiful pastime in turn. There is another story of how Rukmini Devi was very angry once from Krishna, and she left. And she came to Maharashtra, because Maharashtra happens to be her in-law's place, her mother's place. So she came to Maharashtra, and she was in Dindirvan. And Lord Krishna, he saw Rukmini is not there, so he came all the way to Dindirvan to bring Rukmini back. But Rukmini was not agreeing. So Krishna thought maybe some time is required. So meanwhile, since I am in Dindirvan, let me go across somewhere place, you know. So you remember, I have one devotee, Pundalik, nearby. So let me go and see Pundalik. So Rukmini's apparent anger led to a beautiful manifestation of a dham, Pandharpur, and the beautiful pastime of Pundalik being glorified. So when a pure devotee's apparent so-called negative emotions, which you see from external angle, you see why disgust, why anger, why crying, but actually it's transcendental. So Rukmini Devi is cursing the cock here, the rooster. Why rooster has come so early and the rooster is crowing? This is similar to gopis cursing Brahmaji. Gopis also curse Brahmaji that why you made eyelids, and because the eyelids keeps closing. And when the eyelids closed, gopis would feel separation. They would not able to see Krishna even for that one nimish. So this is, devotees may seem to cursing, but this cursing is not like Durvasa Muni cursing or some other sage cursing, that in the next life you become like that. Of course, sometimes, many times sages curse, and that may lead to a very good purification. But Rukmini is not going to take a court case and going to put the cock in jail like that. But the idea is, Rukmini Devi is cursing because it is a natural thing which is coming from her heart. What is natural thing? She does not want to miss Krishna. I was hearing a lecture of His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, and he was mentioning a nice point, that devotee should be very tolerant in his life. He should tolerate all kinds of things. But then in the end he mentioned, but one thing he should not tolerate, and that is never tolerate missing Krishna in one's life. So here Rukmini Devi is showing intolerance. For what reason? That she is going to miss Krishna soon. So Krishna is here in a beautiful embrace of Srimati Rukmini Devi, as mentioned in the Bhagavatam pages, and the cock is crowing and Rukmini Devi is showing her disgust. So there are so many things which we can learn from this pastime. I was just going through one nice Niti Shastra. Chanakya Niti mentions that a human being can learn a lot from birds and animals. And he mentions in Niti Shastra that as a human being we can learn one thing from a lion, one thing from a crane, four thing from a cock, five thing from a crow, six thing from a dog, and three thing from an ass. I will not take all the animals, but Bhagavatam place will end. I'll take just the cock because it is relevant to our discussion today. The cock is in picture here. So, Chanakya Pandit mentions what we can learn, four things from a cock. He mentions from a cock we can first learn that one should wake up early in the morning. No matter what happens, high or heel, he has to wake in the morning and do his duty. So we find always, the rooster is always there up in the morning. In Mumbai we cannot experience that. There was, I saw once some devotees have rooster in the alarm clock, you know. So the alarm clock rings, it's like a rooster crowing. So we are so much disconnected from nature that we cannot have cocks around us. But generally if you go to village side, countryside, you'll see that they are always on time. They never miss that the time of crowing. They are always there. In fact, scientists, they have made some research on cock. And they thought that there is some hormone generation, therefore there is crowing. So they thought, let us do a research. And they took a cock and they put a cock in full light for 24 hours. Thinking, let the cock not experience any night atmosphere. Because night comes and the light comes. So they let us do a research. So they put cock for 24 hours in full floodlight. But exactly at Brahmamurta time, the cock crowed. So they came to conclusion that actually it's natural, very natural for the cock to crow when the time has come to get up. And he also, it's a semblance of making everyone wake up. That's natural, alarm cock, Prabhupada says. Cock is a natural, alarm clock makes everyone wake up. So nature is so beautifully designed, Bhagavata mentions here, that how that the beautiful trees, they emit a certain fragrance from the flowers. And that fragrance attracts the bumblebees. And the bumblebees, when they start coming to that flower, they create a buzzing sound. And that buzzing sound, the cock hears and it starts crowing. And then all the birds, animals in the nature, they get up and they start their own orchestra. And hearing that orchestra, then all the human beings should get up. So the first thing which we can learn from a cock, as Chanakya Pandit mentioned, is we should get up early at our home. Second thing which you can learn from a cock, Chanakya mentions, is that the cock is very eager to fight. We always see in villages they have cock fights. So which in cock is very eager to fight and never gives up for his cause. Chanakya mentioned we should learn for this, that when we defend the principles of devotional service, we should never give up. We should always be like a cock. In fact, Chanakya mentioned that even if the cock is actually getting defeated by another cock, the cock enjoys the defeat. Why? Because the cock knows that I am fighting for my own cause. Even though I am defeated, but I will never give up. So that is one thing, second thing which we can learn from a cock, that he fights, never gives up. And third is, the cock is always searching for food. Chanakya mentioned similarly, one should always endeavor by his own efforts. One should not depend too much on others. Over-dependence is not good. One should always try to acquire whatever he needs from his own efforts, finding food. And fourth thing is, after he finds food, he distributes and he shares his food even with his enemies. So Chanakya mentioned, similarly, whatever we have in our life, we should always be very in good disposition. We should always offer it to others. So these four things which we can learn from cock. We'll focus on the first thing, rising early in the morning. Prabhupada says in the Krishna book that we cannot imitate Krishna, but we have to follow Krishna. It is very amazing that we are getting a chance here to peep into the inner life of Krishna, directly into Krishna's own inner quarters. Generally in the material world, we heard from previously one speaker, I think Raj Gopal, who mentioned this point, that people are very eager to know the inner life of a celebrity. And all these magazines carry all that inner life and they sell like hotcakes. So as a conditioned soul, that propensity is to know about a celebrity, especially his inner life, which is not very popularly known. So that propensity can be finished when we peep in the life of Krishna, his inner life. So we are very fortunate that Narad Muni got a chance to peep into the inner life of Krishna, and then he in parampara gave it to Vyasdev, and Vyasdev in parampara gave it, and we are more fortunate because Srila Prabhupada has translated the inner life of Krishna into English language. in the form of his books. So that is the greatness of Srila Prabhupada. Book marathon also is coming. So we should share this knowledge with others. We have received this knowledge of Krishna's inner life. There are so many people hankering for someone's inner life outside, but they have no access to Krishna's inner life. But when we access Krishna's, give access of Krishna's inner life to others, then Krishna also gives us more access to his inner life. So Srila Prabhupada always stressed on distributing his books, preaching, sharing what we have, sharing the knowledge. One devotee, recently I was attending a book distribution seminar, one devotee was mentioning that when Prabhupada's disciple got a dream, generally we never focus on dream, but if the dreams are very much towards a Krishna conscious understanding, we even sometimes take dream very seriously. So he was mentioning that in a particular temple which he stayed, somehow other devotees were not preaching. They were too much into just managing a temple, not much preaching, not much book distribution. So one day when he was sleeping, and he was apparently sleeping next to Prabhupada's deity that day. So in the dream he saw, Prabhupada woke him up. And Prabhupada said, please take me out from this place. Please take me out from this place. He said, why Prabhupada, you want to go? You are sitting here nicely, people are worshipping you, they are coming and offering obeisances. No, I want to preach. Please take me outside. So the devotee said, well, okay Prabhupada, come with me. So he went in on the streets and Prabhupada followed behind. And then Prabhupada said, stop someone and tell him that your spiritual master wants to talk to him, preach to him. So he said, is it? So he was trying to stop some people. He said, please stop, my spiritual master wants to talk to you. So no one was hearing, everyone was like, you know, neglecting him and going. And finally some one person after a long time stopped. And he said, my spiritual master wants to talk to you and preach to you. He said, sure. Then he turned around and he saw Prabhupada was not there. And he saw in his hand a Bhagavad Gita. And he gave it to. So he felt that Prabhupada's books are like, Prabhupada is going to preach to them. So this is called as sharing Prabhupada or sharing Bhagavatam or sharing Krishna with others. So here we can see that how we are getting a chance to peep into the inner life of Krishna and get an understanding. Our Srila Prabhupada also warns us that we should not imitate Krishna. We should be absorbed and we should learn from the acharan, from the behavior of Krishna. That is important. So what we can learn? Prabhupada is very humorous. In Krishna book he mentions this beautiful point. I'll read this. Despite Srimati Rukmini Devi's disgust, Lord Krishna would immediately get up from bed exactly on the appearance of Brahma Muhurta. And Prabhupada says, an ideal householder should learn from behavior of Lord Krishna how to rise early in the morning, however comfortably he may be lying in bed embraced by his wife. So we can see here that how Prabhupada is emphasizing the point of getting up early in the morning. So we thought that we cannot enter into Krishna's inner life speaking about Krishna being embraced by Rukmini Devi. But definitely we can focus on the aspect of Krishna getting up, and Prabhupada is saying we should all get up early in the morning. Rukmini Devi was in disgust because she was going to miss Krishna's embrace. She didn't want to get up in the morning. Why? Because getting up in the morning meant losing Krishna. The conditioned souls, most of us, some of us, we are also disgusted like Rukmini to get up early in the morning. However, the idea is not that we are in embrace of Krishna. As Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Enechi aushadi maya nashubharu lagi. Jeeva jago, Gaurachandra bole. Koto nidra jao maya, pisha chira kole. So our acharyas mentioned that we are also embracing someone. Who is that? We are sleeping on the lap of maya. And therefore acharyas come and said, Jeeva jago, Gaurachandra bole. Our beautiful bhajan, Vibhavari shesha, aloka pravesha, nidra chadi utho jiva. So you find time and again Srila Prabhupada and all our acharyas, Srila Prabhupada disciples, we are learning from their life that how they understand that the morning time is a very, very important time. Just like a businessman will never lose an opportunity to earn and he will strike a deal exactly at right time. Similarly, a spiritualist also is a transcendental businessman. He knows the best time we can get more in less time is the morning time. Because the morning time is the mode of goodness. And therefore you find all our morning program, all the major of our prayers, chanting, attending Guru Puja, greeting the deities are all in the morning. You never give in the afternoon. One devotee once, one new person who was mentioning that, you know, aapke iskon mein achha hai, everything is okay. Ek hi problem hai. Suye 5 baje kyun uthte hai aap log? Why you got a 5 o'clock? Why not have Mangalari at 9 o'clock, you know? But the point is at 9 o'clock the passion increases. So you find time and again Prabhupada and through the purports of Bhagavatam, we'll just go through some quotes. Prabhupada emphasizing on the morning program. Get up for the morning program, Brahma Murta time, chant your rounds, attend morning program, association of devotees, hear Bhagavatam. Why? Because when we read and hear and associate with devotees in the morning, it is a maximum charging. And then we can go throughout the day and we can execute our duties. There are so many things mentioned by Srila Prabhupada. We'll list few of them as we go on in our discussion. Bhagavad Gita mentions that what a devotee should do. So the first thing it is mentioned is, Mayeva mana adhatsva, mayi buddhi niveshaya. So Prabhupada says in his translation that just fix your mind on Krishna. Just fix your mind on Krishna. And engage all your intelligence in Krishna. Thus you will always live in Krishna without doubt. And the next verse in the translation, Prabhupada says, Krishna is saying first a very high level. Engage your mind on Krishna always, 24 hours, which is so difficult. Engage your intelligence in me, 24 hours, which is also difficult. So the next step Krishna says, okay, if you cannot do that, atha chittam samadhatum na shaknoshi maistiram abhyas yoginato mamim chaptum dhananjaya. So Krishna says, okay, if you cannot do that, if you cannot fix your mind upon me without devotion, then follow the regulative principles of bhakti yoga. So if one cannot focus on Krishna 24 hours, cannot fix his intelligence 24 hours, can't do that, the next thing is he should do is follow a regulative principles of bhakti yoga. And Prabhupada says in the purport that the previous verse mentions about attraction to Krishna spontaneously. But this verse mentions Krishna, attraction to Krishna in a regulated way. If one cannot become attracted to Krishna spontaneously, he has to regulate his life in such a way that ultimately he will become attracted to Krishna. And Prabhupada says, for the second class, there are different prescribed rules and regulations one has to follow, which will ultimately lead to loving Krishna in his life. And Prabhupada says, what is the regulations in bhakti yoga? Under the expert guidance of a spiritual master, one should rise early in the morning, take a bath, enter the temple, offer prayers and chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Prabhupada says this practice can help anyone to rise to the level of loving Krishna. And then surely he will reach the spiritual kingdom of Godhead. This is called as Vaidhi Bhakti. Prabhupada also mentions about Vaidhi Bhakti in the Nectar of Devotion. One devotee was very nicely mentioning that how this Nectar of Devotion, Srila Rupa Goswami mentions about 64 items of devotional service. Of that 64 items, 42 items, if you analyze, they all come under the morning program. And in that 64 items, Rupa Goswami mentions, even if someone is not able to follow all 64, but if you can follow 5, and he mentions those 5 things. First is chanting, second is association, third is hearing Bhagavatam, fourth is staying in a holy place or worshipping Tulsi, and fifth is, I forgot the fifth one. Okay, 5. Deity worship. So 5 aspects Rupa Goswami mentions. And he mentions that if someone is able to just do this 5, then he will make rapid progress and reach from sadhana bhakti to bhava bhakti. So once I was hearing a class, and this devotee was mentioning that we see Prabhupada's expertise. Prabhupada created a unique morning program in ISKCON. You see, any other mutt apart from ISKCON, they have a morning program. But the morning program which we have in ISKCON is scientifically designed by Prabhupada. If you just go to the morning program, the devotee was mentioning, you are following automatically all five. Not only that, if you see properly, all 42 items are properly followed of 64 items of devotional service. That's why Prabhupada always stressed devotees to come for morning program. Why? Because he knew, just by going through that ardent task, tapasya of going through the morning program, what will happen? A devotee will rise from the stage of ignorance to the stage of enlightenment. From struggling sadhana bhakti, one can become a very strong sadhana bhakta and eventually come to the platform of bhava-bhakta. So Prabhupada mentions vaidhi bhakti. And Prabhupada then mentions, in vairi bhakti, sadhana bhakti is of two types, vairi bhakti and raganuga sadhana bhakti. So you mentioned, when you do particular thing again and again, then you become attached to it. Like for example, initially we don't have attachment for Krishna consciousness. In the ordinary world outside, what is the time people get up in the morning? No fixed time. Jab aankh khuli tab ud gaye. Or sometimes people are forced to get up because they have to catch a train or go to office. If given a chance, the holiday, you see what time they get up. So we all had bad habits in the past of getting very late in the night, in the morning. In fact, we would sleep late also. Many times when we get up for Mangalati here, we find so many people are driving in the cars because their party is just over and they are going to sleep now. And God knows when they will wake up. So, a devotee wakes up in the morning. So, I forgot the point. Do things repeatedly, Raganuga. So, initially we are coming from a culture where everything is topsy-turvy. We got up in the morning before, or we never saw the sun rising. We always saw the sun on the top. So we got up, the sun is always there, and we always woke up and started our day with bed, tea and the newspapers. And now we have to come to Krishna consciousness where there is a big standard. What? To get up early in the morning. So difficult. So therefore there are regulations. One may not like it, but the regulations are there. Like for in our temple we have this 4:57 a.m. the register. You have to mark your present. And every devotee has to run and come and sign the attendance. If the register is not there, I don't know. There will be impetus to come or not. But we have to have all rules and regulations. We have the register, then we have a department who makes a surveillance of the register, who is coming at what time, and sometimes sends him special love emails reminding him, Prabhu, this is just for your reminder. Why? Because we require that. If there is no regulation, the tendency of a mind is to be unregulated and be in an enjoying mood. However, when you do it for the long time, the same thing again and again, we develop taste for it. Like Govind was once mentioning in his class that we find many devotees in our Krishna consciousness, for them to get up in the morning is very easy. Why? Because throughout their life they have been doing it. And it has become a regulation in their life. They woke up. Sometimes they wake up, even they don't require alarm clock also, just wake up. And they come happily. I remember one devotee we have in ashram, I will not tell his name. Very senior devotee. So he has problem of not able to sleep in the night because of his advanced age. So he is always a little anxiety of not able to sleep in the night. So one day I just very nonchalantly mentioned him, Prabhu, why you come from Mangalarti? If you are not able to sleep in the night properly, sleep nicely. Come at 7 o'clock. Then he saw me with so much of disgust. He said, how can you ever give me that kind of advice? Then I realized that this devotee has got taste in the morning program. For him to not attend morning program is more austerity than not giving a prasadam plate. Or maybe more austere than not getting a sleep. He has got taste in the morning program. Why? Because throughout the life, throughout the time, throughout the days, he has been attending morning program with regulation, with difficulty, but yet persisting and following the regulation. And finally that taste has come. So Prabhupada is always telling us to get up for a morning program, rise early. This verse mentions also about how householders should get up early in the morning. Prabhupada quotes Yudhishthir Maharaj's example in Bhagavatam, that Yudhishthir Maharaj lead an ideal household life. Every day without fail, Yudhishthir Maharaj would get up at Brahmavarta time, take bath in the river, and then he would come first offer obeisances to all of his elders and then go and worship Lord Shri Krishna. So Prabhupada mentioned that all the householders should learn this from Yudhishthira Maharaj. Prabhupada says that if one does not want to wake up in the morning for Krishna, the material nature will force that person to wake up for going for a job. And you find so many times, even today also. Like for example, many devotees when they come for Mangalarti in the morning train, the train should be empty, but you find train is also crowded. Morning 5 o'clock, people are going for job. Forced by material nature to get up in the morning. They don't like, but they are forced. So either we are forced of material nature, or we get better to accept the force of the acharya and follow the schedule. And regarding Brahmachari Ashram, then Prabhupada gives a very beautiful purport on what Brahmachari should do. Prabhupada says that, this is from Kardamuni's episode, Prabhupada mentions, here are some descriptions of a Brahmachari yogi. In the morning, the first duty of a Brahmachari seeking spiritual elevation is Huta Asana, offer sacrificial oblations to Lord. Those engaged in Brahmacharya cannot sleep until 7 or 9 o'clock in the morning. They must rise early in the morning at least 1.5 hours before the sun rises. And they must chant the holy name of Lord Krishna. Kalo nasteva nasteva gatiranyatha. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says there is no other alternative than to chanting the holy name. The Brahmachari must rise early in the morning and one should chant the holy name of the Lord. Prabhupada mentions, from the features of the sage Kardama Muni, Prabhupada says, it appeared that Kardama Muni had undergone severe austerities. That is a sign of one absorbing Brahmacharya, that his face is very austere. However, if one lives otherwise, it will manifest in the lust visible in the face and the body of a Brahmachari. The word Vidyottaman indicates Brahmachari features should Brahmachari feature is showed in the body, not just by clothes. That is a certificate that one has undergone great austerity in yoga. But Prabhupada mentions a very beautiful point coming up. A drunkard or a smoker or a sex monger can never be eligible to practice yoga. Generally, yogis look very skinny, Prabhupada says, because of not being comfortably situated. But here, Kardamuni was not emaciated, because he was seeing Krishna face to face. The word snigdha pangavalokanat means he was fortunate enough to see Krishna and therefore he looked healthy because he had directly received the nectarian sound vibration from lotus leaf of Krishna. Prabhupada says, similarly, one who hears Krishna's holy name in the morning also improves in health. We have actually seen, Prabhupada says, many brahmacharis and grihasthas connected with ISKCON society have improved their health. And a luster has come to their faces. It is essential that brahmachari engage in spiritual advancement, but he should also look very healthy and lustrous. The comparison of a sage is compared to an unpolished gem is very appropriate. A gem may be unpolished, but the luster is still there. Like that. So Prabhupada is mentioning that when a person follows the rigid morning program, what happens? He is forcing himself into an austerity. However, because of the morning program, what happens? The person gets that nourishment. Like one time Radhanath Maharaj was mentioning in his class, if you see externally the life of Raghunath Das Goswami, medically he should be dead because he hardly ate anything. Once in 3 days he was drinking 1 cup of buttermilk. But because he was fully Krishna conscious and connected with Krishna conscious activity, he was getting his nourishment from Krishna consciousness. That's what Prabhupada is pointing here. That one, if someone is very powerfully attached to the morning program, then what happens? He gets all of his strength from that. Prabhupada also mentions, if the morning program is good, then person can go out comfortably in the material world and come back again. But if his sadhana is not good, then what happens? He goes out and there's a chance of being succumbed. So therefore, there should be proper balance. One proper disciple recently came and he was giving an example of a diet. Like for example, rice and dal. These are the regular items in one's food. You are mentioning that rice is very good. Everyone likes rice. And dal is also very good. Everyone likes dal. But when rice and dal combined is given, then it is much more good, that combination. She was mentioning, similarly, we have our seva, which is like rice. It is very good. We should do our seva. Strong seva, service attitude. And he also mentioned, similarly, there is dal, that is our sadhana. One should have a very strong sadhana. And then he mentioned, but dal is good and rice is good, combination is good. Similarly, a balanced devotee is that who has a good sadhana and who has good seva. Never extreme. Not only sadhana, not much seva. Or only seva, not much sadhana. But balanced, both sadhana and seva should balance. Then it can be a perfect diet for the nourishment of a sadhaka. So these are some things about the morning program. And yes. Prabhupada mentions in one of his writings, this is from Journey of Self-Discovery, Prabhupada says, Krishna told to Arjuna, yathe chasi tatha kuru. Whatever you like, you can do. Krishna is giving this independence to Arjuna. He does not force one to surrender. That is not good, forcing. Something force will not stand. For example, we advise our student, get up early in the morning. This is our advice. But we will not force them. We may force them one time or twice, but not always. Because Krishna never forces anyone. So the whole idea is that acharyas may give an indication for us to rise early. But it is upon a sadhaka to take it seriously. It's an important injunction which has to be done. Similarly, Krishna does not force anyone. In fact, Krishna does not even force anyone to leave this material world. But still Krishna is like a kind father who wants his son to come back. So Krishna comes himself down in different yugas so that he can attract us back to him. So this is how Krishna's understanding, the understanding of Krishna, Krishna's coming in the age, different ages to pick us up is that Krishna is never forcing, but Krishna comes and always offers various avenues so we can return back to him. Prabhupada also mentions that if you do not have a good sadhana, then what will happen? There is a chance of being getting succumbed to the forces of Maya. So, then Prabhupada gives an example, a very relevant example, the example of a bed bug. Generally, bed bug is always there at home, inside the furniture. But Prabhupada mentions that in winter, the bed bug is hidden, and it's very shrine. But one can never say there is no bed bug in the furniture. When time comes, the bed bug comes out and drinks the blood and becomes fat. And Prabhupada uses the example of bed bug, saying that how similarly the innate desire to enjoy is in everyone's heart. Even though one may become a devotee, that desire is like a bed bug in that. So every day if we have a strong sadhana program, what will happen? We'll keep that bed bug at bay. But when the sadhana goes down, what happens? The bed bug gets a chance. That bed bug, that lust, that greed which is there in the heart gets a chance and starts sucking and becomes very powerful. And therefore many times, even devotees, as devotees, when we discuss about our morning program or sadhana, we always come to conclusion, the best ever chanting we had was when we chanted at night, 12 o'clock. Am I right? Which is the best chanting? The morning time. Everyone will agree, the morning time is the best time to chant. As the day drifts on, then the morning program, the morning chanting or even the reading also as a toss. The quality goes down because the passion increases and the ignorance. So the regulated life is more focused on the morning aspect, the Brahma Muhurta time, 1.5 hours before sunrise. And Prabhupada says in one of his writings in one book, Prabhupada says that if you see the life of an animal, the bird and beast, they live a very natural life. Their life is very easy and comfortable without any problem, Prabhupada says. Why? Because they rise early in the morning regularly. We never find birds sleeping extra in the morning late. They got tired. Kal dada ghum liya, thoda so jata hu main. As soon as there is little light, Prabhupada says, immediately they will rise up and they will talk amongst themselves and go from one tree to another. They will eat one or two fruits, little fruits, ample fruit. They have no scarcity of food. They live very pleasantly. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending, all very nicely happened because they are working as per the biological clock of the nature. And Prabhupada said, but human society, so much scarcity, so much problem. Why? Because of Kali Yuga. Effect of Kali Yuga means so-called advancement of modern civilization to become godless, immoral, and therefore there is so much of suffering. Even the basic needs which an animal and birds get, that also people have to struggle in Kali Yuga. Why? Because the lifestyle is like that. So therefore Prabhupada says that, Prabhupada insisted the devotees should have a good morning program. One time Bhavan Prabhu had come here and he once told us in his Bhagavatam class that Prabhupada told that even if you are tired, come for Mangalarti and sleep later, but come for Mangalarti. So he was mentioning that how Prabhupada was very strong to his leaders to attend the morning program. And Prabhupada once was mentioning in his two disciples, of course sometimes devotees get up early in the morning and then they cover up in the evening, in the daytime sleep. But he was mentioning, but actually a devotee is one who is ahara nidra, ne, vihara vijito, yuktahara vihara, nidrahara vihara vijito. That a person is regulated in his eating and his sleeping. And Prabhupada says the ideal example is of Goswamis. And Prabhupada said to Dr. Patel once that the Goswamis only slept for 2 hours. And many times they would not sleep also. Now, Prabhupada told devotees to sleep at least 6 hours. Otherwise you will become crazy. So the point is, Prabhupada mentioned that one has to come to the limitation of the basic tendencies of materialistic civilization, eating, sleeping, mating, as less as possible, and more for Krishna. So that is the tall order which our acharyas have given us, and they themselves have shown us from his life, from our life. Prabhupada himself, he slept so less in the day, in the night time, and worked for Krishna throughout the day. So that is the standard he had set. And we can also find so many devotees in our ISKCON society today, leaders. Every ISKCON leader who is there, Prabhupada disciple, who is leading the ISKCON, they have a very good morning program. And that's why they are able to stand the test of time for so many years. Once I got chance to meet one devotee who is a disciple of Gopalakrishna Goswami. So I just asked, please tell me about your spiritual master. So he told me very much that he was a personal servant of his spiritual master. So Gopalakrishna Maharaj, wherever he is in the world, morning 4 o'clock he gets up, no matter jet lag, even sometimes when he is travelling, at 4:30 he uses kartal and starts chanting Samsaradava prayers. And if he is in temple, he will come for Mangalarti and do Aarti. So I felt that at the age 68 something, around that age, so much enthusiasm for the morning program for deity worship he has got. And you can see he is inspiring so many devotees all over the world. And a personal example, Radhanath Maharaj here, in spite of his ill health, we find him coming for morning program. Then he becomes very tired, then he goes to take rest, then again he comes out, and then he sits with devotees and chants. And when he's chanting, he's not like looking tired, 20 years, 15 years, same pose, he sits and chants. So we see that our acharyas are giving an example of how one should have a good sadhana. If it's a good sadhana, then one can actually progress very fast in Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Please forgive me if I spoke something more than what I supposed to speak. But the purport was very esoteric. Rukmini embracing Krishna. And the only point I could find was Brahma Murta, so I picked up that. Hare Krishna. So we'll end here, we already over time. Grantharashtrimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.